It is an incredible honor to be here this morning. It's man, just coming together with you guys and being in God's presence. Nick and I, since the beginning of this year, we've been to Shofar Zanin and to Johannesburg and Potchefstroom, and now in about 2 weeks' time we're going to Secunda as well. And yesterday, Friday, we were in Wellington, and you know, we're so different, but yet when we come together, we're the same. There's the same spirit, the same passion, there's the same longing for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit to touch us. There's the same respect for God's Word, and it is supernatural. It is incredible to have different congregations spread out right throughout our country, and even up into Africa and into Europe as well. And we can be separated by thousands of kilometers sometimes, and yet be one, be so close in the Spirit. That is something that only God can do. And just gathering like we're gathering here today is already a declaration to the kingdom of darkness that God is alive.
Amen.
That God can forge people together who in the natural should be so different, and yet we are united around the same blood that flows through our veins, the same Father. We've got the same Father, different mothers, but the same Father. Amen. We've got the same Father, different mothers. He's our daddy, and he delights in his children coming together. So what I want to do this morning is just to share some news with you from the rest of our Shofar family as well. Some of the awesome stuff that's happening in the rest of our Shofar church family. So we prepared a little video for you, a short one, just to give you a bit of a glimpse of some of the stuff we've been working on and that's being released in our church family. So if we can play that video, please. Thank you.
Here's what's happening in Shofar churches around the world. 30 years ago, God gave a small group of people a big dream to take the whole gospel to the whole world. This dream grew into a vision that would inspire thousands to make disciples, raise up leaders, and take part in planting life-giving churches in nations and generations across the globe. This year, we'll be taking time to remember and celebrate God's faithfulness over the last 30 years. We are excited about Convergence 2022. Every 2 years, we have the opportunity to come together corporately to see God move in our midst, for us to encounter Him in a fresh way, and for Him to release us with a new anointing to impact the world around us through the power of His Spirit and the beauty of the gospel. Join us on 14 to 16 October. Bible School has changed so many lives over the years, and we are getting such encouraging feedback from our completely revised first and second year courses. We're constantly working on making Bible School more accessible so that everyone can do it. For example, although the full course is one of our most effective discipleship tools, our pay-per-view courses allow you to spend time in God's Word at your own pace. You can choose the sessions you want to grow in and get a taste for the complete Bible School course. Visit shofaronline.org for more information. God has been confirming over and over that it is time to plant churches again. And we are already seeing the fruit of these words with church plants like Oton in 2021 and Claymont in 2022. We're also excited about our upcoming church plants in Muizenberg, Eerste Rivier and the northern suburbs of Cape Town. Please pray with us for these new congregations. We are so thankful for God's provision that enabled us to invest in a few new properties even during the COVID-19 pandemic. Shofar Somerset West and Shofar Support Center have acquired a venue on the main road of Somerset West, and Shofar Bloemfontein bought a house that will cater for their growing families. Shofar Stellenbosch also bought a venue that is being used for Sunday services and a youth and missions training center. Last year, Shofar Band released 5 new singles, including Let Your Kingdom Come, that received a great response on YouTube around the world. The team just translated one of those singles, Faithful, into Kirundi to serve our Shofar Burundi congregations. You can listen to Shofar Band on all major platforms.
Yeah, so there's some news from church. Family news, so I hope that you guys have diarized. If you haven't done so, please, 14th to 16th of October. It's going to be a biggie. It's our Convergence. We're going to have Convergence in Somerset West again and up in Pretoria as well. There is something incredible that happens when the people of God gather together. We're so thankful that the Lord has given us local congregations where we can contextualize the gospel, we can contextualize God's vision that He has given us in each local congregation. It's special and it's unique and it's different, but it is so special when we come together as well, when we come to one place, we worship God, His Spirit gets poured out upon us, and we are 30 years old this year, so it's going to be a massive celebration. We're so looking forward to just seeing what God has in store for us for the new season in our church's life as well. We're going to celebrate the incredible 30 years that lie behind us as well. And as you guys have heard there, we've translated one of our songs into Kirundi, which is the language they speak in Burundi. And a couple of weeks ago, I had an awesome conversation with Pastor Everest, our sort of apostolic leader there in Burundi. And we've discovered that now, besides the 20 or so congregations in Burundi, they've also planted now in the Congo. So we've got shofar congregations in the Congo, we've got shofar congregations now in Tanzania as well, and also in Mozambique, so they've planted into Mozambique too. So it's just incredible to see what God is doing, how the gospel is spreading. And so if some of you guys can speak Portuguese, or if some of you are fluent, maybe even in French, please come and chat to us. We need to translate our Bible school and all our material now into different languages. And this all started 30 years ago with a small group of people coming together and daring to believe. Daring to believe, daring to dream. And so I just want to encourage you guys, dare to dream. Amen. Who knows what is needing to happen through this congregation, that 30 years down the line, people will be able to look back and say there were a group of people that gathered here, Cape Gate, trusting God for big things. And what flowed out of this congregation. And I know that God is busy just in our church family. He's busy with I love the last song we sang. God is busy rebuilding. He's busy rebuilding everywhere. And you guys would have seen the pictures there of the property the Lord has given us in Somerset West. It's an amazing testimony. Like in the middle of COVID, God blesses us with this property. We've moved our HQ from Franschhoek now to Somerset West as well. And it was a bed and breakfast, guest house, 3,500 squares property. Before COVID, that place was in the market. We would never have been able to afford it. COVID came, of course, and there's a lot of pain and tragedy that went along with it, especially in the hospitality industry. But out of that pain came opportunity for us to purchase that property at less than 50% of what it was in the market for pre-COVID. So that's just such a blessing. Hey, how God can do something like that. And 2 years ago, the pastor summit, I just felt the word in my heart. The Lord is saying that He's going to bless us with property. And now we're seeing more and more churches, also because of COVID, being kicked out of schools. And we're being forced to put out our faith for property. And in Potchefstroom, where we were a couple of weeks ago, there the Lord has given us that gereformeerde church building. And so the church is there in a reformed church building in Pretoria. Now the guys are having the church services in the headquarters of the NG Kerk up in Pretoria, where the synod meet. And so God is just busy doing incredible things. He's busy just positioning us. He's sending us people. The Lord also said, I'm sending you sons and daughters from afar to come and labor with you. And so we're so excited to see how God is connecting us to the rest of the body of Christ as well, across denominational boundaries and borders. And we can work together. Your partnership with Focus on the Family is so incredible, where like-minded, kingdom-minded people are coming together. And we say, man, we're not obsessed with our brands. We're not obsessed with our corporate ID. This is about the kingdom. And we want to work together to see God's kingdom come. And so I'm blessed to hear you're making this building available as well for other ministries to come and use it, because that's our desire. Amen. Is that whatever God gives to us to be a blessing to those around us as well. And so as I'm moving around our different congregations, I'm just sharing a little bit of what God is doing in us and what He's doing through us. And so I just want to bring you into the loop a little bit and just chat to you this morning about what I believe God is busy doing in our church, what He's busy doing in the broader body of Christ, what He's doing right throughout the world. I think what all of us have seen lately is that there's a massive shaking taking place. Amen. There's a shaking taking place in the world of politics, economics, in church life, family life. Everything is being shaken. Things that maybe a couple of years ago we thought would never change are changing all around us. I mean, if people 3 years ago would have told us it would be a worldwide shutdown of all sporting activities, I mean, we would never have believed it. No rugby, no soccer, no nothing going on, no flights. I mean, nobody would have believed us. They would have thought we're crazy. And yet those things happen. People's comfort, people's sense of security, all of those things have been shaken. I chatted to somebody in the week, and at one stage, they seriously considered going to Australia. They were just not feeling that South Africa is the place to be. They were afraid for their kids. They were afraid economically what's going to happen. They were afraid for their rights. I chatted to him in this week, and he's like, South Africa now looks like a pretty good place. He's like, we've got our challenges, but we've got some freedom. Yeah, that many places in other parts of the world don't have anymore. Things are just being shaken, you know. In the Ukraine, the war that's happening there, worldwide with the economy, the petrol prices. Chatted to some farmers who say they've had the best crops in decades. In decades, but now they've got the petrol price. Yeah. And now they've done everything to work, they've done everything to get their crops going, and now they've got this other challenge as well. So things are just changing all the time. And so it's a massive, massive opportunity for the church actually to be a testimony to this world about where do we find our strength? What do we base our lives upon? What do we base our confidence upon? What makes us confident about our country? What makes us confident about our children's future? What makes us confident about our future, our happiness, our joy and our peace? Is it external things or is it something more? And the crazy thing about the gospel and about God's kingdom is that it is always flourished in the midst of tumultuous change. We were in contact with a few pastors in the Ukraine, and it's just incredible to listen to their story and reading their WhatsApp messages about how they're busy reaching out to people, how people are coming to salvation in the midst of the bombs exploding, in the midst of all of these, the fear and all of those things, and yet God's kingdom is advancing. And so for us, I believe within Shofar and for us as the body of Christ in South Africa, I believe there's a window of opportunity for us to realign ourselves with God's way of doing things. And one of the things God has done over these last 5 years also was to really, like I've said, break down the walls and the barriers between us and other churches. You know, where in our early days, just through the pioneering and the going and the gunning for what God held before us, we did grow a little bit isolated. We did grow a little bit sort of in our own kingdom, and God has just broken down those walls. I had a wonderful conversation with a pastor up in Potchefstroom from another church planting movement, and he just came up to me and said, "Heinrich, man, we're sorry for the things we said about you guys in those early days. We're sorry for the grief we gave you in Stellenbosch when the church was planted. And our hearts are so the same. And looking back, we can't believe we allowed those divisions. We just wept together and prayed together. Said, man, God's kingdom. You know, God's kingdom. We want to release any of our people going to you. Bless them. Some of your guys have come to us. We bless them." And I'm like, man, that's a sign of revival for me. When we're at the place where we can yoke together and we can labor together. But it's happening because God is shaking us. God's shaking our sense of confidence and our sense of even what do we base our future expectations upon. And during a time of shaking, it's important to sort of go back, look at what's our foundation, what's important to us, but also look at, are we flexible enough to move forward into where God wants us to go. And so whenever you go to most Shofar congregations, it doesn't matter where you tend to go, you will see this orange flag somewhere. Yeah, there's always this orange flag somewhere, or an orange sign somewhere that hopefully would remind people about, man, there's family. No, there's family. There's something happening there. And so just very quickly, I hope you still notice the sign. Sometimes you like things, you see it so often, you don't notice it anymore. But just driving here again, like, okay, there's a sign. We're on the right place. But the shofar, obviously the sign and the shofar that we, praise God, you guys have got it here. It's amazing. You know, part of what God has given us, and which we seriously considered during a time of change, God, is this name still the name that you want us to continue with? Because we were literally saying to God, God, we want to give you carte blanche on everything. Speak to us about everything that we do, everything we've taken for granted. Speak to us about that. And God just took us back again to why He'd given us the name and why that name is significant for us and significant in the season. So just very quickly, the shofar, you guys all know, is hardened shofarites. You know that the shofar in olden days, in the Old Testament specifically, was blown to call and to awaken God's people. And when you heard the blow of the shofar, it was, amongst other things, called to tell all the local tribes where they lived right throughout Judea to leave their villages and to come together for a time of celebration. So there were many different feasts, but at least three very important feasts that all the males especially had to travel to Jerusalem for. So they would leave their little villages and their tribes, and three times a year they would pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So that, of course, was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of the Harvests, and the Feast of Tabernacles, right? The three important feasts within the Jewish calendar. And those feasts were given by God to God's people to remind them that God is a joyous God. We must go and have a look at those feasts and calculate how many cattle were slaughtered for brides. All right? There were like tons of brides. There was no celebration without a bride. All right? There were sacrifices made in the tabernacle, slaughtered once a year. When the high priest entered at the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, would slaughter the lambs. But there were other sacrifices being made as well. And then there would be massive celebrations. All right, like hundreds, if not thousands, of animals slaughtered and people brying together, eating together, dancing together, singing together. God's people have always been a celebratory people, a singing people, a rejoicing people. And it's our prayer and our desire that when you see the orange sign, when you think of the word shofar, you would be reminded that God is a rejoicing God. Now, when we come together, part of our testimony, especially during a time of so much stress and pressure, and by the way, at Convergence, we'll be talking about mental health, amongst other things. We'll be talking about revival. We'll be talking about church planting. We'll be talking about good news to the poor. And we'll be having a session on mental health because it's a massive pandemic. It's a massive challenge for so many people who have struggled during isolation. So many children that are struggling with suicidal thoughts deal in part because of the gender confusion. There's so much trauma out there. But God's people's joy in and of itself was already a testimony. You can have joy in the midst of tough times. A joy that's anchored in Christ and a joy that's anchored in family and in relationship. And so my prayer is that we would never lose that. We will never lose that sense of celebration, that sense of high-fiving each other when we come together. You know, some of our brothers in Asanda village there, just outside Somerset West, we've got a congregation consisting mostly of Zimbabwean brothers and sisters. And you know, very often for them, just to get to small group on a Wednesday evening, they risk their lives within that community, just traveling by night. And coming together on a Sunday, sometimes it's dangerous. And so for them just to arrive and pitch there, it's already like, we've made it. Praise God. You know, and I'm like, how often do we take for granted just the fact that we can come together? Eh? You can get into your car and you can drive and you can come to church and you can have your coffee and sit in a comfortable chair. Guess what, guys? We are not guaranteed that. Amen? We're not guaranteed that that's going to be the case 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Why should our country be different to so many other countries in the world where the world is clamping down upon church? Heaven forbid it happens here. We need to pray. We need to get involved. We need to advocate. We need to put pressure on government to protect the liberties that God wants us to have. But we are not guaranteed those things. We are not guaranteed that we will be able to gather like this for forever. All right, and so we need to celebrate and enjoy and appreciate what God has given us now, and at the same time strengthen what we have so that when the time comes for us not to be able to gather like this, we would be resilient enough to continue to meet in whichever way that we can.
All right, and so that's just a heads up, a warning, but the Bible makes it clear that tough times are coming. And so the Christian doesn't have to get freaked out by tough times because God says tough times are coming. But we know that even in those tough times, there's overcoming for us. And that overcoming might not look comfortable, might not look the way that it used to look in the past, but there's overcoming, there's victory, the kingdom advances, people get saved, they get healed, they get delivered, marriages flourish, irrespective of whether we're in a building or not. Irrespective of whether it's legal or not together. Right? We might get into times when it's illegal together as a church. We might get there. And then we've got to be prepared to train ourselves and train our kids. How are we going to live as disciples? All right, and so this coming together is something precious. And my prayer is that we would appreciate it. That even as we come together, we would not forget about our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who risk their lives coming together. We have to meet in secret. We can't even send WhatsApp. So we have to trust the Holy Spirit to show them where church is going to be. That's the reality for many. And right now in Nigeria, church is being bombed as people gather together. And here we are. Amen. Let's thank Jesus for the freedom that we have together. And let's evaluate our reasons for not gathering. If it is such a precious gift that God gives us and which we are not guaranteed forever. All right? And secondly, when we think of the sun, when we think of shofar, when we think of blowing the shofar, we understand that God calls us to repentance. And it's our desire and our prayer that we will never ever stop preaching repentance. That we will not become churches that just preach what people want to hear. Amen? That we will not just preach a gospel that makes people feel good, but that we understand ultimate joy comes from repentance. Ultimate joy comes from doing things God's way. Wonderful practical conversations we're able to have with our children about just the consequences of opening up your marriage to other partners, the consequence of thinking that God's values don't apply to us anymore, and where that leads you. Right? Our famous celebrity slap that happened a couple of months ago, weeks ago, now on television. All right, where there's someone that is so well known, someone who unfortunately has built their lives outside of the focus and the foundations of God, and now their lives are falling apart. Why? Because you're not building according to God's way. Now your way looks good. Let's just have an open marriage. Let's just forget about this thing that people are created to be loyal to one person. That's so old school. And then things build up and chaos happens and trauma happens and pain happens. God calls us to preach the gospel. One wife, one husband, gospel. Repent from your wicked ways. Turn to God. Repent from the injustice. Repent from the prejudice. Repent from whatever it is. Turn to God because in that there's refreshing. So may we always remain a church that is not afraid to preach the tough stuff. You've got to pray for us because what I just said, one of these days could be illegal to say. Yeah. All right? The shofar calls us also to a place of warfare. And in the olden days, they would blow the shofar from village to village if there was an attack, and the men would rise up and they would enlist in the army and they would fight, as Nehemiah would tell them as well, fight for your sons and your wives and your daughters. Fight. There's a call through the shofar that my prayer is that we would never become complacent, never become spectators, never be happy just by coming to church and forget that there's a place at the table that God has for you and for me where I have to take up my place and stand to attention, so to speak, to God's presence that comes as the command of the armies of heaven to say, but I've got a place for you. I've got a role for you to play in my kingdom, in my army. And we understand that our call to warfare is not to fight against people, but our weapons are powerful and spiritual, given to us by God. But there is a very real battle which we fight on our knees, which we fight in intercession, which we fight through the way we work, through the way we love, through the way that we live as good neighbors. But when you get saved into a battle. So let's not kid ourselves that there's no such thing as a spiritual warfare going on. And a part of what makes us shofar is an understanding that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Kobe said it this morning, sometimes there's a place where you've got to press in. Where you've got to say enough of this cycle of debt in my family. Enough. I'm going to press in until God sets me free from this mentality that causes me to buy stuff before I can afford it. This mentality that causes me to live in fear of bankruptcy, of whatever it is. I'm going to press in. I'm going to make myself vulnerable. I'm going to ask for prayer, and I'm going to confess my stuff, because I understand it's more than just about me. My offspring is at stake here. I'm going to press in. Amen. There's a place where we have to take up the battle cry, and not be afraid to blow the shofar and call people to a time of warfare and prayer. And also what we understand is that the shofar was used in olden times by the prophets as Samuel would go and anoint Saul and go to anoint David. They would use the shofar to go and anoint them. Pour the oil down here and then just go up and just pour it all over them. Fresh Dutch, Lord. Jesus. So that oil, as the Bible says, it flows down Aaron's beard. Oh, it's a maniri, so. Yeah. Flows down Aaron's beard onto his garments. That's a lot of oil, amen? That's a lot of oil. And so the anointing was never supposed to just be that, you know, the way we do it, just lightly do it there, you know. Just like, no, man, it's supposed to be slapped onto you and just good measure pressed down, spilling over, running all over you. You're oily when you walk out of there. But there's something about the shofar and the sign and the symbol that says that God's anointing power is available. And so it means that when we gather as a prophetic community, not just to prophesy to the world out there, but to prophesy to each other. To see things in each other that only the Spirit of God can reveal to us. And when we gather together, we come with an excitement. God, who am I going to meet today? Who are you going to show to me today? And maybe it's someone that I've seen for 15 Sundays before, but this morning I see something different. Because you show me by the Spirit of God. The incredible thing is that Samuel, as he arrives at Jesse's house, he gets there and he thinks the eldest is supposed to be the king, the new king. Because this guy is tall and handsome, just like Saul was. Now the Bible says that Samuel's none of his prophecies fell to the ground. So he was the man, right, in terms of prophetic insight. But even he missed it because he was looking through man's eyes. And so he went from the one to the other, and he's thinking, now this must be the guy, strong, handsome. This must be the guy. And God says, no, 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 no. He's like, oh, come on. Where is this guy? And he says, he's tending the sheep. Man looks to the outside, God looks to the inside. Can we be a prophetic community that will not judge each other the way the world judges? Will not judge according to bank account, hair, clothing, language, lack of hair, whatever. May we not judge according to the world standards. Amen? May there be something different, the Spirit of God inside of us, that when we look at each other, we'll see what God sees. And we'll not be afraid to call it out and to speak it over each other. And so my introduction is done. Those things haven't changed about us. Amen? This is whom God has called us to be. This is what God has called us to be now. Now, how He will call people to celebration, how He will call people to repentance, how He will call people to warfare, how you will anoint those in your midst and release them as marketplace ministers and teachers and graphic designers and church planters will look different in Brackenfell than to Somerset West. You've got to wrestle, yes, this church, what does this mean for us? How can we celebrate? How can we intercede? How can we, and the things we'll share and have in common, but there'll also be very unique things here, because the people God has called you to reach is different to the people God has called me to reach in Somerset West. I used to think Somerset Western Strand is the same place. I'm now discovering it's not. Even there, it's so close. It's different, and we have to tweak things a little bit, and that's the freedom that we have locally. All right, so gaan groot as a belief, all right? Just go big, dream big. Start small, dream big, build, keep each other encouraged and accountable. Say, man, come on. Let's not forget what God has called us to do. Now, I love the focus God has given you around discipleship, and that's all part of the reset. Okay, that God is calling us to have a fresh look at how are we discipling, how are we living, what is our focus. So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 7 says the following. Just a beautiful portion of scripture that God has just been highlighting to me as I'm thinking and as I'm praying about God, our church family. I'm so excited about what you have in store for us. But God, at the same time, I've got a sense of fear and trepidation almost upon my heart as well, especially for us as leaders, because I'm understanding that the shaking that's taking place is not just limited to government and to business and to economics. Right? God is shaking His church as well. Right? If you just followed the news the last little while, the last 2 years or so, you would have noticed that massive shaking is taking place. Right? Big ministries are being shaken. Massive multi-international ministries are being shaken, from the world of apologetics to small group to worship. Big ministries are being shaken, and things are being exposed, things that have been done in secret, things are being exposed everywhere. God is shaking it because God is asking us for a reset. He's asking us to return to what is truly, really important. Amen. And so Paul speaks to his friends in Corinth. I'm always encouraged by the church in Corinth. They were messed up bunch. Right, if ever you think your church has issues, go and read those two books. There were three letters that Paul wrote to the guys in Corinth. Where we don't have the third one, but actually we've got, I think, the first and the third. The second one got missing. There's something so beautiful about that congregation. In their messiness, God is still there. And then you know why? Why it's messy? Because it's people. Right? Wherever you have people, put people together, becomes messy. All right? Because people are different. And yet within that, there's the glory and the beauty of God. I mean, one of the most beautiful chapters in the entire Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. All right? We get born out of that challenge that they had to how they're going to live together as people from different backgrounds, and rich and poor, guys have different sexual orientations, you know, the incredible stuff that were happening that they had to wrestle through, and the gospel came in and forged a beautiful community within a challenging environment. But Paul speaks to them at one stage, and he says in the previous chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, we have this beautiful verse where Paul says, guys, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. And He's challenging them. And He's saying, I want you to live by the Spirit, guys. I don't want you to live by the flesh. I don't want you to be led and guided by your appetites and just by what you see. I want you to be guided by the Spirit. Because, man, in the Spirit, there's so much available to you. So much. It says, no eye has seen it. No ear has heard it. No mind has conceived it. Try and imagine when I was a kid, I used to lie in my bed and I would think, so what was there before there was a beginning? What was there? Because God was there, but how far back can I go? And when I struggled to fall asleep, I would think myself asleep like that. I would try and go back as far as I could, man. And every time my brain would just not be able to. Now the scientists tell us that there was nothing, and then suddenly there was gas, and from gas everything else came. But where did the gas come from? Out of nothing. Yes, you just wait long enough, just wait a couple of billion years, and then nothing becomes gas. Wait some more billion years, and the gas becomes something else. Right? Just if you just wait long enough, something will come out of nothing. But we know, we know that there was a beginning that was spoken. Spoken by God. But He's the one that holds everything together. He's the center. Right? He's the center. But as your imagination tries to figure out God, you've got to come to the place where, like, no, I can't do this. I can't. He fries my brain cells. He's incredible. We're still discovering more galaxies and more planets and just incredible stuff all around us. But God has decided to reveal something of who He is and His plans to us as human beings. Through His Holy Spirit. That's an incredible thought. And it's just like you trying to communicate with an ant. How will I let this ant understand this chocolate cake really isn't for him? All right, I've got nothing against you. colony of ants, but if we come to this chocolate cake, man, you know, I'm like, God is able to communicate to us by putting His Spirit inside of us. Something of Him inside of us. And then he's speaking to the Corinthians and he's saying to them, guys, but you're too obsessed with the chocolate cake. You're too obsessed with the fleshly stuff. I want to reveal so much more to you. I've got life for you. But if you eat that cake, you're going to die. I'm going to stomp on you because just for my holiness, it's not going to be, or the sugar is going to kill you, whatever the case might be. Life in the Spirit. And he says, I'm struggling to break through to you guys because there's this one thing that's happening. You're busy comparing people to one another. It's like Apollos. Is it Paul? Who's the greatest? Who's the best preacher? Who's got the best band? Who's got the best lights? Who's got the best building? You know how things go in church sometimes? And you would change church because of the size of a band or the volume or the how nice the coffee is. Am I like, Corinthians, come on, man. He says to them, I can't share meaty stuff with you, he says to them. I've got to treat you like little kids. I've got to give you a little bit of milk. I have to treat you as infants. I'm going to share the stuff of the Spirit with you, but I can't because you're just judging the way man judges. And so it's that context that he speaks this to them. He says, what then is Apollos? I've got nothing against Apollos. I appreciate him. He's amazing. But what is Apollos and what is Paul? He says, we're just servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each. Praise God. Amen. I mean, who am I? I'm just a servant. Like my brother and sister. Servants here. We're all just servants. Shofar isn't built upon a person. This congregation isn't built upon a person. We're just servants. All of us. All right? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So many of you in this room, you were part of other congregations, or somebody invested in you, somebody else then watered, but you know every one of us as those ministering to you are servants, the growth comes from God. If it's not coming from God, it will not withstand the test of time. Then it's just a program, it's a habit, it is just something that we give, but there's an element, and that's why when Kuba says, open up your heart to what God is saying, it literally means, man, we wish we could open your heart for you. We wish we could get in there and turn that knob and open it up, but we can't. Someone has said that the door of your heart has got only one handle, and that's on the inside. It's only got one handle, and that's on the inside. And as much as seed can be planted and seed can be watered, the growth that comes from God comes with your volition. It comes with your cooperation. It comes with your submission and with your surrender. Say, man, Jesus, I surrender. I want to be the guy that says, you've delivered me. And I'm struggling with a phone. Or I'm struggling with Netflix. Or I'm struggling with a chocolate cake or whatever it is. But I want to be set free. I surrender. I surrender. That word that's being sung now, that prophetic word, it's mine. I take it. I open up my heart. Jesus, let that word become alive in me. The growth. Right? The fact that we could grow from one church to now with the churches that the Burundian guys are planting, over 80 churches together, that comes from God. It comes from God. It's not from us. We can do our bit, but it comes from God. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything but only God who gives the growth. Praise God for the growth in this congregation. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so there are many different pictures God uses for us as his people. One of the most beautiful ones is we his bride, amen. He's coming back for us. He's preparing us to be without spot and wrinkles. Guys, even us, that's where it's okay that you or she, in that context, you're part of the bride. Right? It's the only time when it's all right, to say I'm part of the bride of Jesus Christ, male and female. God loves us. God is coming for us. He's passionate about us. He can't wait to be with us. He fights for us. He's prepared to go through mountains to get to our hearts because we're his bride. That's how he feels about us. But we're also family. With the same father, different brothers and sisters put together. But here we see also that he's saying that we are his field, and so he's working us. And so right now, as you're sitting here, God is busy working on you. For some of you, he's tilling the ground, he's opening up the ground, he's putting some compost in there. For some of you, he's busy weeding some unforgiveness and bitterness and offenses and stuff and prejudices. He's working that out of your system. For some of us, he's pruning some relationships that are not from him, some habits that's not from him. He's busy working in your life. Amen. You're his field. But then he says, you also his building. All right, and as we've been in some of the West now, we're busy building, adding some rooms, breaking open some walls. We're discovering that there's a place where at times you've got to go down into the basement, open up what's there under the rotten wooden floors, and then you discover some things, and most of those things are useless. Right, we're still waiting. Maybe there's a treasure chest somewhere, and we can hit that pot of gold. But a lot of that stuff has been buried there. It's useless. You've got to get rid of that stuff. Otherwise, it begins to stink. Otherwise, it begins to just rot there. You've got to get rid of stuff. And for some of us, the season that we're in, I want to encourage you, when Corbus and them, when they come to say, here's a date for destiny encounter, all right, grab hold of it. Because the Holy Spirit wants to come and he wants to uproot some stuff that have been buried. You know how ancient civilizations, they've just built upon the previous civilization. And so you have layers of civilization built one upon the other. And sometimes we just build and we build and we build and we build through busyness and through new stuff. And God wants to come and wants to say, man, just give me an opportunity to have another look at the foundations, to open that up. And I just sense in my heart that for some of us, we are resisting. We are, this picture, some of us, we are standing in front of this wall and God is there with a sledgehammer. That wall needs to come down, but you're there, no. No, not this wall. I don't know who I'm going to be without this wall. And God has got so much more in store for you than what you think you might lose. Trust Him, amen? Trust Him. Continue to surrender to Him. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. And so all of us, as we're busy ministering and we know it's not just us here at the front that God is called to be ministers. I mean, one of the things I love about Shofar is that we don't have that 80-20 thing where 80% of the work's being done by 20% of the people. Our people love partnering. Our people understand that we've been called by God, all of us, to be ministers. Amen. The fivefold ministry is simply there to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. All right, so as God is building us and working on us and challenging you, knocking out some walls, maybe for some of you saying, open up your heart, right, for more people. Open up your heart for different kinds of people. Open up your heart for your neighbor, for your boss, for your colleague. Allow me to stretch you. For some of us, he's also saying, man, I also want you to start building. Start building. Bring your building implements. Bring your awesome gift to smile and use it for God's kingdom. Bring that awesome hug and use it for God's kingdom. Bring your woodwork abilities. Bring your ability to teach little children. Bring your patience and just to walk with someone. Bring that and become part of the builders. All right? Because each one of us has responsibility. Look what scripture says there. Let each one take care how he builds upon this foundation. So there's actually an expectation that each one of us will build. As an expectation, it's impossible for us to say, it's only the apostles building, it's only the pastors building, only the teachers building. God has called each one of us to build. And so my question to all of our churches and to our leaders is this: how is your building? This building first. Are you still open for God to come and break down whatever He wants to break down? Or do you have some no-go areas? Some areas like, Lord, everything but not that. You know, stuff we say, I'll go anywhere but not there. Those kinds of things, you know. I'll do anything but not that. I'll speak to anyone but not that guy. You know, are there places like, God, you can speak to me about anything but, man, not about my job I've built for 15 years. Not about that. I think I might have started with a story and then interrupted myself, but when I was in Potchefstroom, I met with Francis Chan and another guy from YWAM. We had a great time there, just as pastors connecting and brought some other pastors together. And I just at one stage just felt the Holy Spirit really challenging me to lay down even the brand, You know, just everything. The lady said, God, if you want us to go in another direction, if you want us to partner with people that we haven't thought of partnering with, we want to do that. All right, many years ago, there was a bit of tension between some of you guys might be from YWAM here. But there was some tension initially between Shofar and YWAM because sort of the local church looking at YWAM, parachurch organization, YWAM looking at the church as obviously the guys who are supposed to do this work and they're not doing this work. And there was just a lot of misunderstanding and stuff. And it was incredible after I prayed that prayer how God has now just over the last 2 weeks connected me with incredible people from YWAM who are just like bringing stuff. And there's connections, there's missionary zeal, there's cooperation, there's stuff happening because I had to say to God, God, change my perspective on this organization. You know, some of the stuff that I've heard and exploring that with these guys, like, man, many of the stories weren't even true. They were just misunderstandings that took place there. You know, and again, just like with the other church, God could do something amazing. So that's from a church perspective, but who are the people maybe that you think in your, I'll never be in a small group with that guy, or I'll never be in a band, or even just in your business, you think, man, this is how God needs to work. Be flexible, right? Be open. Give God permission to be God in your life. At the same time, join with us in building. Verse 11 says, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. I think it might have been Corbus or somebody that said something about fire this morning. Who was it? Yeah, you said something about fire. All right? God wants to bring the fire to purify our hearts. To set us ablaze for Him. But you know, I've learned to say to God, God, please bring the fire now, rather than one day. I don't want to just get to one day and then discover, man, there was stuff in my heart that I kept away from the fire. And then right towards the end of my life, like so many powerful people in ministry, right towards the very end, the last few months of their lives, the fire comes and exposes things. Like, you know, Rabbi Zechariah, some of the stuff that happened there. The ministry was in its chops because the fire came right towards the end. I'm saying to God, God, bring the fire. Purify my heart. Let me sort out my attitudes because I want to go for gold. Amen. I want to build with gold, not with wood, hay, or straw. I don't want to build just with man-made stuff. There's a story that I read about, I think it was in the 2004 London Olympics. I think it was London. About this, the sharp shooting competition. This guy was way ahead. He was like, man, he had to score a ridiculous score not to win the gold medal. And he was so far ahead. And he lined up, concentrated, focused, pulled the trigger, bullseye. Bullseye. Crowd cheered, going ballistic. Wrong target. He shot one of his competitors, bullseye. Lost 8th from way ahead to 8th. Why? He was aiming and gunning for gold. He was going for it. And he hit the target. The bullseye only to discover he hit the wrong target. I don't want to get to the end of my life discovering I'd built massive things and I'd worked and I built a legacy and I'd done all sorts of stuff only to discover the fire exposes and says, no, but you were going for the wrong target. Amen? You don't want to get there. You want to give God that permission now already. Constantly in actual fact. I say, God, come, test my heart. Show me, Lord, where do I need to change? Where do I need to be flexible? Where do I need to be open in my relationships? And that's my prayer for us as Shofar, that we will say, God, bring the fire. Continue. Right? I want to jump on the rock so I can be broken, rather have the rock fall on me and I'm crushed. Jesus said it. Blessed is he who falls upon the rock, rather than he upon whom the rock falls. God wants us to humble ourselves rather than to be humbled. And so I'm going to say this just to us and I share this word with us. Why? Because God is going to bless us with more buildings. He's going to bless us with more partnerships. He's going to give us more churches to plant. All right? Our influence, guys, what God has prepared for Shofar is beyond what we can imagine. Therefore, it is so incredibly important that we would have our hearts sorted out. If you are sitting here and you were hurt in another church before you came to Shofar, sort it out. All right? Don't allow the thing to fester in your heart. Sort it out. Go back. Repent. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness. Share your experience. Speak to Corbus how best to do it. If you got hurt in this church, sort it out. If you've got stuff against your mom or your dad, sort it out. Stuff towards your kids, sort it out. All right? Those are the things that pleases God. Not necessarily just what happens to you on a Sunday. Let's go for gold. Amen? Amen. Let's go for gold. Let's not get obsessed and enamored with the blessings that are going to come. My prayer is that as awesome as the physical blessings will be, but we will get really excited about are the things that can only be discerned by the Spirit. The things that are happening on the inside. And inevitably flows over to the outside as well. All right? Let me read this last few verses and I'm going to close in 2 minutes. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If the band can come, please. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved through the fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? I believe God is just asking us to give Him permission to come and clean house. Come clean this temple, Lord. Come and clean my mind, my motives, Lord, my insecurities, my stuff. Come and clean. A while ago, we were visiting this one church and the Lord just said to me, Heinrich, you're coming as the leader. Do you want people to walk away from that church service being impressed that they've met you, or in awe that they've met me? And it's so subtle. It's so subtle, but it's all about the heart. We want to see Jesus be made famous, amen? We want to see Him be made glorious. And if that is our heart, then God can trust us. So that's what I feel as an encouragement, but also as a just a gentle rebuke for all of us, starting with myself. Let's not become complacent around what's going on in our hearts. Let's open up our hearts wide to say, King of glory, come in. God, we want to tremble at your word. We want to be the people that trembles as the mountains tremble. We don't want to be complacent. We don't want to become fat. We don't want to become fed up. We want to grow up so God can do what He wants to do through us. And we want to go for God.